A serviceman once wrote about a moment of comedy he had witnessed in the Army. It happened during a company inspection. The inspection was being conducted by a full sergeant major. Everything had gone smoothly until the officer came to a certain soldier. He looked him up and down and snapped, "Button that pocket." The soldier, more than a little rattled, stammered, "Right now, sir?" "Of course, right now," was the reply. So the soldier very carefully reached out and buttoned the flap on the sergeant major's shirt pocket. You see, the officer had been quick to note that the youngster's uniform was not properly done, but in doing so had noticed his own. And that's a lesson we all need to learn, because of some reason, the faults of others seem to stick out as an obvious thing to us, while our own faults are often hard to spot. Our text this morning is found in James chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. I may not take them in that order, but that is the text this morning, James 1, 18 to 21. And what James is going to share with us today are three areas which seem to stick out to most Christians, especially for young Christians in regard to the trials which we face. And as we go through today's sermon, keep in mind that we need to apply what we learn to ourselves first. James 1, I'm going to start in verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." James says that when it comes to our trials, the first thing we need to remember is be quick to listen. He told us now, if I'm going to go back to James in now verse 18. Prior to verse 19 and 18, he says, "Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And then he goes on and tells us in verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." And so when James says that Christians are to be quick to listen, he's talking about listening in regards to us being open to reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. One of the first things that immature Christians need to tend to do when they begin to face any trial, often we as Christians, as we start to face trials and tribulations, we stop reading from God's Word. A strong Christian will always go on to read the Word of God for help, for encouragement, and for comfort. Because the mature Christian understands that God's Word will help them. As someone once said, some Bible verses are like lanterns. They were made for dark places during dark hours. It's a bit like the little girl who was going on a train many years ago. She couldn't understand why the trainman was going through the car lighting the lamps. She says, "It's the middle of the day, Mom. Why is this man going from car to car lighting the lamps?" The mother smiled and said, "Wait a bit and you'll see what those lights are for." And obviously, as you guessed, a few minutes later, the train plunged into a long, dark tunnel. And then the little girl saw the wisdom of that lamp lighting process. When we read our Bibles, it seems that they contain thousands of verses that seem very ordinary and unnecessary. And there are times when we can't see why God has gone to all the trouble of lighting all of these individual lamps of truth. But someday, when we're going into that tunnel of bereavement, or the tunnel of temptation, or the tunnel of suffering. It's then that you will find value and appreciate the verses that appear to be ordinary and unnecessary. In other words, when we're facing trials, we need to be quick to listen to what God has to say for us in His Word. James says when we're struggling as Christians, especially in times of trouble and trials, it's then that we need the Word of God the most in our lives. We need to simply and calmly be open to what God's Word has to say to us. Because it's only by reading the Word of God can we know what that God cares and what God would like us to do. But do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants to help you through trials and tribulations in your life? Isaiah 43 and verse 2 tells us that when you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. Peter basically says the same thing in the New Testament in 2 Peter 2 and 9. 2 Peter 2 and 9, he tells us, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God wants to help us. But that, for that to happen, we need to keep on reading His Word and listening to what He has to say. You see, young Christians, immature Christians, each of us, we know that there is a maturity level. It's not ones that were just baptized, but the growth level. We often, as Christians, when we're facing trials, not only stop reading God's Word, that we sometimes stop assembling together in worship. We know that those strong Christians can't wait to come to worship. Why? Because they know and understand that they can get the help, the encouragement, and the comfort that they need to get through those trials, through the Bible studies and through the worship together. You read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and to exhortation and to comfort. I hope and I pray that all of you receive help, that you receive encouragement and comfort through the preaching of the word and through our assembling ourselves together in these worship duties. And so one of the ways which is going to help us grow into spiritual maturity is when we are facing trials, is to keep on listening to the Word of God. A second thing that we learned from our text this morning is to be slow to speak. There are a couple of ancient sayings that I found that I'd like to share with you. One ancient saying says, men have two ears, but one tongue. So they should hear twice as much more than they speak. Another ancient saying said, the ears are always open, ever ready to receive instruction. But the tongue is surrounded with a double row of teeth to hedge it in and to keep it within its proper bounds. You see, as a Christian matures through trials and tribulations, they learn some things. And one of the things they learn is the ability to know when to speak. Now, I'm pretty sure we have all run into the situation where we have spoken and then stopped and thought, oh, I should never have said that. Or why did I say that? Because it caused more harm than good. May we know when to speak and when to keep quiet. When a young Christian is going through those trials, they don't need to know every single verse in the Bible. They don't need to get every little instruction. Makes me think of my granddaughter yesterday. She just started playing golf, and she's on the JV girls golf team at Perry High School. She's a freshman. Yesterday, she asked me if we could go out and practice, so we were doing that. And as she was swinging, being the typical grandpa and being a retired teacher and so on, I kept giving instruction. I think that your Finally, she just stopped, looked at me and said, "Papa, I think I know that." Made me think and realize that sometimes we need to be careful, instead of just a lot of words, to wait for the perfect opportunity and say exactly what they need to hear, not what they already know. So my point is that we need to help each other grow up spiritually through our trials and tribulations together. And often we need to listen more and speak less. So when we think of that, may we be slow to speak. And then the final thing that Christians need to do, that James brings up here, is that we all need to be slow to become angry. You see, the word wrath is closely related to the word anger. But we really need to understand what it is in the Bible and what the Bible has to say about both. For example, the Old Testament says in Psalms, I'm going to read some Old Testament verses now. In Psalms 37 and 8, it says, "Don't give in to worry or anger. It only leads to trouble." The book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 14 and verse 17, "One who is quick-tempered acts foolishly, and the schemer is hated." We could go to Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes 7 and 9, it tells us, "Keep your temper under control. It is foolish to harbor a grudge." Now we move to the New Testament. Paul says to the church in Rome, in Romans 12 and 19, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." To the church in Ephesus, to the Ephesians, Paul writes in Ephesians 4 and 31, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice." And then we could go on to the church and writing to the Colossians. In Colossians 3 and 8, he says, "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. You must rid yourself of anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips." So let me ask you, what is the difference between anger and wrath? Because Paul says in Ephesians 4 and 26, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." Paul doesn't seem to have a problem with a Christian becoming angry. He says, if you become angry, we all know as individuals, we face trials and tribulations, and there are times that we become angry. Some people will try to justify and say, "Well, Jesus got angry. I'm just following his example." They quote Jesus expressing anger in John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And they say that you see Jesus expressed anger. People try to excuse their anger. And they go to the passages like this. People who try to excuse their anger often go to passages like Romans 1 and 18. Where Paul writes, "God's anger is revealed from heaven against all the sin and evil of the people whose evil ways prevent the truth from being known." My point is this. We need to understand the difference between wrath and anger. How do we reconcile those passages which demand that anger and wrath is sinful and something to be put away with those passages that speak of anger on the part of God and on the part of Christ, and even the Christian? Well, first of all, we need to understand that God's anger is always a reaction to evil, because God is divine and he is all-knowing. His wrath is never misguided. In other words, he is more than capable of properly directing anger and wrath. I'm sure that we remember growing up, and there might be a time that somebody got very angry with us. And in our own minds, we had to be thinking, I don't know why they're so angry. I don't understand. Like, what did I do wrong? We know that that's not the case with God. God knows our hearts. God knows our thoughts. God's anger comes in towards evil through ignorance of misunderstanding. Haven't you ever been angry about something and later regretted it when you realize that we were in the wrong? Jesus had the ability to read the hearts of men, and he had that divine knowledge. He could not mistakenly direct wrath and anger. His anger was always holy anger against unrighteousness, which was formed against God. And when Jesus was angry, he was angry only for God's honor. When he was personally abused, he said nothing. We can read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 23, it says, "It was to this that God called you, for Christ himself suffered for you and left you an example, so that you would follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no one ever heard a lie come from his lips. And when he was insulted, he did not answer back with an insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but placed his hopes in God, the righteous judge. Jesus said nothing. It wasn't until someone acted against God that he displayed his righteous anger. And that's where we all fall down at times. We often use anger improperly. We are to follow Jesus' example. And notice James doesn't say a Christian doesn't get angry. He says a Christian should be slow to anger. In other words, anger itself is not the problem, but the way we deal with the emotion of anger could lead to a problem. So, now I believe James and Paul are telling us that we need to try to examine our lives, that we look at being slow to speech, that we listen and ponder and speak the words of wisdom, that we do not give up on God's word, that we use God's word through trial and tribulation. We continue to use God's word. We continue to use encouragement, and that we are slow to anger. We were thankful that Paul tells us why in Ephesians 4 and 27. He says why we need to be slow to anger and keep control of our emotions. In Ephesians 4 and 27, says, don't give the devil a chance. You see, a mature Christian understands what happens if you don't deal with the anger properly and quickly. There once was a little boy who had a bad temper. His father gave him a bag of nails and told him that every time he lost his temper, he must hammer a nail into the back of the fence. The first day, the boy had driven in 37 nails into the fence. Over the next few weeks, he learned to control his anger. The number of nails hammered daily gradually dwindled down. He discovered it was easier to hold his temper than to drive those nails into the fence. Finally, the day came when the boy didn't lose his temper at all, and he told his father about it, and the father suggested to the boy, now pull out one nail each day, that he was able to hold his temper. The days passed, and the young boy was finally able to tell his father that all the nails were gone. And the father took his son by the hand and led him out to the fence and said, you have done well, my son, but look at all the holes now that you have left in the fence. The fence will never be the same. The example, the moral of the story is, you see, when you say or do things in anger, they leave a hole, just like this one, that you can put a knife in a man and that you can draw it out. It won't matter how many times you say, I'm sorry, the wound, the hole, is still there. As someone once said, a verbal wound is as bad as a physical one. So a mature Christian knows and understands the danger that anger can do. They know that the devil will have a field day with that anger, and they know that the devil will use that anger to create division amongst God's people. James warns us, and again, going to our text, James 1 and verse 20, Human anger does not achieve God's righteous purpose. You see, there was a place for anger, but only if it's going to lead us to the honor and the will of God, and that's where we fail the test. How many holes have we left in the fence with our anger? By the way, that is the title of our sermon this morning, Holes in the Fence. How many people have we wounded with words and deeds which we should have controlled? If we want to grow up into spiritual, mature Christians, we need to be able to control that anger. And the way we can help ourselves to control that anger is simply by applying the first two warnings of Jesus. Be quick to listen and slow to speak in our lives. As James tells us, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. This morning, we need to look at ourselves as a self-examination. We need to look at where we are at as Christians. May we be encouraged to quickly be ones that read from God's word, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. This morning, we offer the invitation song. If there is anyone that is in need, whether to repent of their sin, confess Jesus before men and be buried with him in baptism to wash away their sins, or to ask for the prayers of the congregation, whatever your need is, you have the opportunity to come forward and make it right as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.